Silver Company presents The Silver Theater. Starring Douglas Fairbanks Jr. in Understudy. Directed by Conrad Daigle. Brought to you on behalf of two of the greatest names in silverware. International Sterling, world-famous solid silver, and 1847 Rogers Brothers, America's finest silver plate.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Conrad Nagel greeting you from the stage of the Silver Theater in Hollywood and bringing you the 33rd in our new series of dramatic productions. Before we tell you about today's play, we'd like to take a moment in which to announce that for the productions of next week and the week following, Silver Theater will originate in New York City. I will greet you from there with Miss Helen Hayes as our star. And now the house lights dim and the silver curtain rises on Fru Boardman's romantic drama Understudy. Douglas Fairbanks Jr. is starred in a dual role, playing both John Gordon, prominent Broadway producer and star, and Philip James, young English actor in Gordon's company and understudy to the older man. Supporting Mr. Fairbanks is Paula Winslow in the role of Judith Wilson. Our scene is a large theater just off Broadway in New York. Here on the stage bare of scenery, the cast of a new play starring John Gordon is rehearsing. Sprawled in a seat in the theater proper is Gordon himself watching and commenting. As on stage, the final scene of the play is rehearsed for the 100th time with Gordon's understudy, Philip James, reading the star's part. And as usual, John Gordon is obviously displeased. Jerry Thomas, the stage manager, and the rest of the cast stand watching, waiting. Waiting for the explosion that is sure to come.
Just as I see you now, the quiet, wondrous beauty of you. I'm up. Give me the rest of the line, will you, Jerry?
Yeah. Here. Elizabeth, my dear, if I can only paint it just as I see you now. Quiet, wondrous beauty of you.
All right. Stop it.
But Mr. Gordon, sir.
Quiet, Jerry. Mr. James, if it's not too much trouble, will you please try to remember your line? Of course, you and Miss Wilson make a very pretty picture up there on the stage. But it happens we've got a play to worry about.
John, just a minute. I want to talk to you.
Well, Malloy, what is it now? Can't you stop interrupting?
Now, don't get upset at this, John, but the opening is only 3 days off. Now, I know that you always like to have young James read your part in rehearsal so you can see how things look out front, but after all, you've got to get smooth in the part yourself. I mean,
I've got to get smooth. Now, listen to me, Malloy. Whose reputation will be at stake when this show opens? Not yours. Mine. That audience will be paying to see a Gordon performance. Well, they'll see one. Now, get out of here and don't bother me. We'll run that scene again. Then, Mr. James, you are reading the part of Dante Gabriel Rossetti. He is not a seller of fish. He's a poet. A great English poet and painter. A man of emotion. A man of soul. And he is in love with his girl, Elizabeth. Now, try and remember that.
Take it easy, John. The kids are tired.
Get out of this. Now, listen up there. Both of you. This scene is the finale of the play. If this isn't good, the whole show goes out the window, and the so-called cast along with it. All right, let's go.
Okay, Phil. The door opens. Gabriel enters.
Elizabeth.
Gabriel, you came back.
Came back? You think I could have gone? I've had an inspiration, Elizabeth, a picture. The greatest I've ever painted. But you must be the model.
Must I, Gabriel?
Never mind. Stop it. I'm coming up there. We're wasting time.
But, Mr. Gordon, if you just let us play the scene through once,
why
please.
Why should I? When you can't even read a single line, either of you. Mr. James, why couldn't you have stayed in England? Don't you think we have enough bad actors of our own? And you, Miss Wilson.
If you don't like our performances, Mr. Gordon, I'm sure we'll both be glad to give notice.
Judith, it's all right. It's my fault. I'm not playing the scene right.
It's not your fault, darling. You could play it if you just give it a chance.
Darling? How interesting. Incidentally, we could do with a little less personal romance in this company and more attention to business. This happens to be a theater and not a lover's rendezvous.
Now, wait a minute, John. Take it a little easy. You can't.
I can't stand by and see this play ruined. You want me to rehearse, do you, Mr. Malloy? All right, I will rehearse. I'll show my young understudy friend here how that scene should be played. Now, give me the cue.
The doctor exits. Elizabeth is alone on the stage. Gabriel enters.
Elizabeth.
Gabriel, you came back.
Came back? To think I could have gone.
I've had an inspiration, Elizabeth. A picture. The greatest I've ever painted. But you must be the model.
Must I, Gabriel?
Who else? Do you think that in all England I could find another girl who... Elizabeth, forgive me.
Forgive you? Because you were going away from me? But I understood, my dear. You're not as other men. You're Dante Gabriel Rossetti. You're a great artist. And no woman must stand in the way of your achievement. That's why you mustn't stay now, Gabriel. Just because I'm ill.
Because you're ill? No, Elizabeth. I'm here because I love you. It took
the risk of losing you to make me realize how much.
Don't prompt me, you young fool.
Mr. Gordon.
You all right, sir?
Give him a chair. Did me nothing. Of course I'm all right. Why shouldn't I be?
But you're not, sir. You...
Shut up. Just dismiss the rehearsal. Waste of time anyway. Showing my young friend how to play a scene. He couldn't play that scene right if he lived to be 100. He knows it. Connell? Where's that man of mine?
Yes, sir.
Oh, what are you waiting for? Help me to my car.
Of course. Is something wrong, sir?
Wrong? Of course nothing's wrong. Stop asking fool questions and get me out of here. All the fellow-brained numbskulls in
my head. Why? What do you suppose happened to him? The way he just stopped in the middle of the scene like that.
I know. I thought he was going to fall.
If it's anything serious, well... With the opening on Tuesday night.
Ah, don't worry, any of you. I've been associated with John Gordon for years, and I never knew him to miss a performance yet. And a New York premiere? Oh. Well, when that old curtain goes up Tuesday night, you can bet your life on one thing. John Gordon's going to be there. Afraid you might not be here.
What is it, Mr. Malone?
Phil.
What about him?
He's leaving tonight, taking a train for the coast.
But that's impossible. For the show opens tomorrow night.
He doesn't care. Just after you left the theater, things really blew up. Mr. Gordon lit into Phil again. Said he ought to spend less time thinking about Judith Wilson and more time thinking about learning to act.
Oh.
Well, Phil got so angry, I was afraid he was going to hit Gordon, but he didn't. He just said that he could take his understudy job and throw it in the river. But he was quitting right then and leaving for the coast.
But Phil can't quit without 2 weeks' notice. When they throw him out of equity, he'd never get another job in the theater. Oh, we've got to stop him.
Yes, I know that, Judith. Knowing how you feel about Phil, I knew you'd do everything in the world to stop him.
Oh, and I will. Where is he?
At his hotel, 47th Street. Went there to pack.
Then you've got to hurry, Mr. Malloy. Come on. Oh, but Phil, you can't do it. Walking out on the show before opening night. Why, actors just don't do those things.
Well, this actor's doing it. And what difference does it make? I have two lines as a coachman in Act Two. Jerry can play the part.
And I suppose Jerry can understudy Mr. Gordon, too.
I don't care if nobody understudies him. I've had 3 years of that pleasant little job, and I'm fed up with it. 3 years as chief stooge to John Gordon. Never playing a decent part myself. No, I wasn't good enough for that. But I was good enough to read the great Mr. Gordon's part in rehearsal, so he'd have someone to concentrate that beautiful sarcasm of his on. Understudy. I've got another name for it, and I'm through.
And where are you going now?
To the coast. I'll try pictures, stock maybe. Anything to get away from New York and Mr. John Gordon.
And me, sir?
Judith. Oh, you know better than that. Don't you realize that I would have quit Gordon long ago, except that you were in the company?
Oh, I know, Phil. I've known that for a long time.
You've known?
Oh, yes, Phil. And I also know that I'd have quit myself if it hadn't been for you. You see, I realized that staying myself was the one way to keep me there.
Judith.
Oh, do you suppose it's been fun for me, having to watch the way John Gordon has treated you? Well, it hasn't. But I wanted you to stay, Phil, because I knew what it was doing for you.
What it was doing for me?
Oh, yes, Phil. Changing you from just another actor into a pretty swell one. Oh, don't you see, darling? Every sarcastic remark, every humiliation you've suffered because of John Gordon has been training for you. You've watched him, you've learned. His tricks of skill and those little touches that have made him the star he is, they're yours now.
Tricks? If knowing theatrical tricks were all an actor needs.
Oh, but there's more than that. Don't you see? Something much more important. There's a kind of fire in men like John Gordon, Phil. That's the real secret of their being the stars they are. Well, I hope and And I believe that you've caught some of that fire.
And if I have, why should I stay longer, Judith? If I do have anything to offer the theater, then why isn't this the time? I can't go on being an understudy forever, and I should be on my own. I must be. For our sake.
For our sake?
Philip James is nobody in the theater. Judith Wilson? Well, Judith Wilson is pretty far on her own way. Don't you see, my darling? I've got to be worthy of you. Judith Wilson deserves better than a fellow who's a kind of shadow to someone else. I know I can act, Judith, but I've got to prove it.
I know you can, too, Phil. And perhaps you're right. Perhaps you should get away from John Gordon now. But don't do it like this. Don't run out. Wait till the opening tomorrow night, then give your notice. Be a trooper about it. It only means 2 weeks delay. Oh, please, please, Phil.
Well, all right, I'll do it. I'll stay. But only on one condition. When the show opens tomorrow night, you've got to steal every scene in the show. And I want the critics on Wednesday morning to say Judith Wilson as Elizabeth was the real star of Dear Gabriel. She was supported by an actor named John Gordon. Hello, Jerry.
Evening, Mr. Malloy. How's the house?
How's the house? A John Gordon opening, and you ask?
Why, it's a sellout. Well, 15 minutes. 15 minutes till curtain, Judith.
15 minutes, thank you.
15 minutes.
Jerry.
What is it, Connell?
Jerry, help me here. Mr. Gordon.
What's wrong?
Help me lift him. He was just sitting there making up, and he collapsed onto the floor. But Mr. Gordon. Mr. Gordon, sir.
Hello. What?
You went out, sir.
We'll get a doctor.
No. I'm all right. Yeah, let me up. Perfectly all right. Look, I can walk perfect.
He's fine. Better lie down, sir.
Mr. Malloy.
What's the matter?
Why, John. Mr. Gordon just collapsed, sir, a moment ago.
Well, get a doctor.
No, taxi. Must get right to hospital. I know.
Oh, but, John, please.
Don't argue. I've had this happen to me before.
Art. Well, go on, Jerry. Get a taxi.
Yes, sir.
And send young James in here. Nobody else.
Yes, sir. Phil James.
Malloy. The house. How is it?
It's full, John. But don't worry about that. You can't help the brakes.
Well, we'll tell the audience what happened and give them the money back. We'll postpone the opening until...
Nothing of the kind. I never postponed an opening yet. I won't now. We open tonight...
But John...
With young James playing the part.
An understudy for a Broadway premiere? Why, it's crazy, John. They'll never stand
for it. They'll have to stand for it.
Yes? Mr. Gordon, Jerry says
he can't go on, Phil, and he wants...
Get out of here, all of you. I want to talk to Mr. James.
But, Mr. Gordon, sir, you...
Get out. Well, here it is. What you've been waiting for.
That's not true, Mr. Gordon. Believe me, I'm sorry.
Don't lie to me. Understudy always prays the star will break his neck. Well, you're going on tonight. Don't think I like the idea. I don't. You'll probably be terrible and wreck the show.
Oh, will I? But if you feel that way about it, you'd better call off the opening, sir.
Well, I'm not calling it off. You're going on. And maybe when that audience gets through with you, you'll realize that all I've been telling you for 3 years was true. And you're a young fool. Never could act and never will. Should have stayed in England.
Taxi's here, Mr. Gordon.
It's about time. Well, help me.
Oh, Mr. Gordon. Mr. Gordon, I just heard. I'm so sorry.
Sorry nothing. You're delighted. Your young fool of a sweetheart is going to play my part. So you'll have a chance to steal the show. Well, that is, if there's any show left to steal. Now, come on. Get me out of here.
We better carry him, Connell.
The man may be dying.
Phil. Do you realize what this means?
I won't do it.
You won't do it?
You didn't hear him. The things he said. He's only letting the show go on so he can laugh. So everyone can say the show would have succeeded if John Gordon had played the part instead of me.
And suppose he does think that. Do you? Suppose he thinks you're the worst actor that ever lived. Are you going to agree with him?
I don't know, Judith. I'm not even sure of myself. Perhaps he's right. Perhaps I can't play the part.
Oh, listen to me, darling. You're going to play Gabriel Rossetti. You're going to play him better than John Gordon ever dreamed of playing him. This is the chance you've waited 3 years for. And now that it's come, you've got to be great. Oh, not just good, Phil. I won't be satisfied with that. You've got to be great.
Up his head. Turn around.
Mr. Gordon, sir, you've got to go for a hospital. You can't.
You heard me. Turn around. Driver. Huh? Back of the theater and only park on the side street.
Back of the theater? Okay, Mr. Gordon, sir. Please be reasonable. You can't play tonight, sir. You're ill.
No, you're crazy. That heart attack of mine was a swell job of acting. Well, who said I was going to play tonight? Yeah. How do I look? Anybody going to recognize me with these glasses and with this collar up around my face? Oh, Anthony, isn't it?
No, sir.
But I don't understand.
You don't have to understand. Well, here we are. Now, you get backstage. Tell them you left me at the hospital and I can't have visitors. I'll come to the dressing room after they've all gone. Now, you wait for me.
Yes, sir. But now, sir, what are you going
to do? Now, Connell, I'm going to settle up a score. Oh, Mr. James. Thinks he can play the part better than I can, does he? Threaten to walk out on me without giving notice, huh? Well, this will take care of that young man. Oh, for the next 3 hours, I'm going to enjoy myself.
You mean, sir, you're going to watch the play from the audience?
Of course I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch it and laugh. The Broadway opening of a John Gordon production. And John Gordon sees it from the ninth row of the balcony. Hello. This is quite a night.
And so we reach the end of Act One of Understudy, starring Douglas Fairbanks, Jr. in a dual role. And in the few seconds before the silver curtain rises on Act Two, let us take a quick look back down the years to the day when Stephen Collins Foster was making American song history. Old folks at home, Suwannee River, my old Kentucky home. They were popular favorites of the 1840s and 50s. And because of their character and beauty, the name of Stephen Foster is recognized and revered by music lovers even today. And ladies and gentlemen, there's another name from that same picturesque period that has also won esteem and recognition through the years. The name of 1847 Rogers Brothers. For it was in that day, almost a century ago, that the house of 1847 Rogers Brothers first created silver plate of surpassing beauty and craftsmanship. Isn't that right, John Conte?
Yes, Conrad, it is. And as the years rolled along, the beauty of their designs and the skill of their workmanship grew even greater, climaxing recently in the development of a technique that gives sterling-like detail to its gleaming silver plate. You can see this craftsmanship in 1847 Rogers Brothers' exquisite pierced pattern, Lovelace, a design essentially simple, yet with a certain rich charm in its wreathed orange blossom motif. A quality to make you fall in love with it on sight. Here, indeed, is a pattern to be cherished right through the years. A design of undying beauty executed in lifetime plate. The pattern Lovelace, created by 1847 Rogers Brothers.
We bring the conclusion of Understudy, starring Douglas Fairbanks, Jr. in the dual role of John Gordon and Philip James, supported by Paula Winslow as Judith Wilson. It's nearly the end of the third and final act of the Broadway premiere performance of Dear Gabriel, in which Philip James, understudy to John Gordon, star and producer of the play, is enacting the leading role. And contrary to Gordon's predictions, Phil has given an inspired performance as Rossetti, opposite Judith Wilson as Elizabeth. And now the audience watches, completely enthralled as the play comes to its conclusion.
Elizabeth.
Gabriel. Gabriel, you came back.
Came back? Do you think I could have gone? I've had an inspiration, Elizabeth. A picture. The greatest I've ever painted. But you must be the model.
Must I, Gabriel?
Who else? Do you think that in all England I could find another girl who... Elizabeth. Elizabeth, forgive me.
Forgive you? Because you were going away from me? But I understood, my dear. You're not as other men. You're Dante Gabriel Rossetti. You're a great artist. And I don't need him, you know. I'm ill, Gabriel. The doctor says...
I don't care what the doctor says. You're going to be well again. I'll make you well. There's strength enough in me for both of us. Oh, I do love you, Elizabeth. Blind, crazy, stupid fool that I am. I love you. And I need you.
Okay, Gabriel, my dear.
Elizabeth, this is what was meant to be. You and I, toasting whatever the tomorrows might bring. Now and unto eternity. It's who they want, Judith.
No, Phil. No, both of this is mostly you, my darling. Mostly for you.
Jerry. Judith, where is she? She ran off crying during the last call. Judith. Judith, my darling, what is...
It's you.
Come on. What?
Oh, you did it. In that last scene, darling, you did it. You had that flame we talked about. It was there, Phil. He thought you'd never have it, but you did. Oh,
there's nothing to cry about.
Oh, isn't it? It's what I've always wanted for you. Dreamed for you. It means you've found yourself. You've shown John Gordon. You've shown them all.
And what of you? You think this wasn't your night as much as mine? Judith. All the things we've left unsaid. We could say them now.
Oh, could we, Phil?
We could, if there were words. But there are none, except for thee. I love you.
My darling.
Judith, let's fulfill this night. It's not real, you know, this night. It never happened. This many hopes and dreams never do come true all at one time. But they have. And there's still one more dream to be fulfilled. For both of us. The most important one of all. Marry me, Judith. Now, tonight.
But darling, how...
We'll drive to Greenwich. We'll wake up a justice of the peace. Will you, Judith?
Oh, why not? It's crazy, but then you're right. This whole night is crazy. Crazy and wonderful.
Phil, the people out front want to meet you. You too, Judith. Critics, photographers.
Well, they'll have to wait. Judith and I are leaving now for Greenwich. We're getting married. Get us a cab, will you, Jerry?
Married? Well, congratulations.
Greenwich? Hey, look, why don't we all go? Make it a wedding cab.
All right, let's go. Come on, everybody. We'll all go. O'Connell.
Just wanted to congratulate you, Mr. James.
Oh, good heavens, I've forgotten. Hold it, everybody. We can't go tonight, of course. Connell, Miss Wilson and I want to see Mr. Gordon now.
Oh, of course. What hospital is he in, Connell?
Well, I'm afraid you couldn't see him till morning, Miss. The doctor was specific in his orders that he mustn't be disturbed tonight.
You're sure, Colonel?
Very positive, sir. So I'd just go on to Greenwich if I were you, sir. And much happiness to both.
Well, don't just stand there staring. I'm beginning to feel like I'm playing the masquerader again. Here, take this coat.
Of course, sir.
Good. Just about suffocated with that cursed collar around my face all the way through the performance. John Gordon seeing an opening night of a John Gordon production from the ninth row of the balcony. Yeah, young fool. Let me hang up my first act coat. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it was a performance, Connell. That heart attack of mine, I mean.
Yes, sir.
Why not? I set the stage for it 3 days ago. Remember that day in rehearsal when I couldn't go on? That was a pretty good performance, too. But not up to the one tonight. Why did you say it? Why did I do all this, huh? That's what you're thinking, isn't it?
I confess that I'm curious, sir.
Sir, nothing. Call me John. You've known me long enough. So you wonder why, huh? Not much like me, is it? Doesn't fit my reputation. Yeah, you bet it doesn't. So you want to know? Well, I'm going to tell you. Connell, for once in my life, I'm proud of something I've done. But you've got to keep quiet about it.
You can trust me, John?
Yeah. I know I can. Well, all right. I'm going to let you read something. Here. Be careful with it. Read that.
December 9th, 1999. Dear John, I can't bear your cruelty or your selfishness any longer. Obviously, there's no room in your life for either a wife or child. I'm going back to England and taking little Phil with me, since I don't feel that you have ever earned a right to him. I shall change his name to my own and raise him in the belief that his father is dead. Believe me, I'm sorry. I wish it might have been otherwise, for the boy's sake and for my own. Helen.
Oh. No. Give it back to me.
John, but why this way? Why shouldn't... In fact, why shouldn't it know?
Sentiment, you old fool. Family relations always get in the way of business. First, I had to teach the boy to act. Then, give him a chance to prove it. If the public knew who he was, well, if they knew who he was, he'd be strict two strikes against him.
I can understand that, sir, but...
And then it was Phil himself. I had to make him mad, Connell. Mad enough to want to show me up. That's just what I did. Young fool probably thought I really intended to play Gabriel on Broadway myself. Just picked the play because I knew it was made to order for him and the girl.
The girl, too? You didn't plan that, sir.
Why not? She's the right one for him, isn't she? She'll keep him towing the mark. Had to keep her mad, too, so she'd stay in the company. Well, Connell, it's been fun.
But I still don't understand, sir. If you remain silent, if no one knows but me... Well, sir, what do you get out of what you've done?
Satisfaction, Connell. Satisfaction. For the rest of my life, whenever I walk down 42nd Street and somebody looks at me as much as to say, there goes John Gordon, the old so-and-so. Well, I'll know about this, and I'll laugh. I'll laugh, Connell, you understand? No, of course you don't. Come on, you old fool, I'll buy you a drink. Should have done it years ago.
Ladies and gentlemen, Douglas Fairbanks, Jr. will have a personal word with you in just a moment. But first, there's a young man here who has a very important question to ask you, and a very important answer to give you. John Conte.
Ladies and gentlemen, do you know that you can now get the most famous silver plate in America at amazing savings? Well, it's a fact. For the distinguished house of 1847 Rogers Brothers, for 92 years, masters of fine design and craftsmanship, now offers you a service for 62 pieces for only $59.75. That's a saving of more than $14 over open stock price. Best of all, you can buy this service for only a dollar or two a week. And just think what grace and distinction it will add to your dinner table to have America's finest silver plate against the rich background of your most precious linens and china. Surely here is an opportunity you can't afford to miss. The opportunity to invest in lasting loveliness at special savings. So be sure to visit your silverware dealer tomorrow, Monday, without fail. He'll be glad to show you a service in 1847 Rogers Brothers' glorious love lace pattern and to explain what easy, convenient payment terms can be arranged. And you'll be glad to learn that this year, you can own the kind of silver plate that will do you proud the rest of your life. 1847 Rogers Brothers silver plate in the pattern Lovelace. And now, back to Conrad Nagel.
Ladies and gentlemen, Douglas Fairbanks, Jr. will be seen starring in Paramount's Rulers of the Sea just after finishing The Sun Never Sets at Universal.
Next Sunday at the same time, originating in New York City, Silver Theater stars Helen Hayes in Crossroads for Two. Be sure to listen. In the meantime, if you want solid silver, you want International Sterling. If you want silver plate, you want 1847 Rogers Brothers, both proudly created by International Silver Company. Understudy was by Drew Boardman, with original music composed and conducted by Felix Miller. John Conte speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.